Do you have your My Slippers yet? If not, you're going to want to order immediately because when they're gone, Mike Lindell says they're gone. If you order right now with promo code REGULARJOE, you get $90 off your pair of My Slippers. I went with the moccasin style and I absolutely love them. They're amazingly comfortable with the gel inserts and they're perfect for around the house or even in the yard when I'm taking regular care for a little walk. And right now, $90 off with promo code REGULARJOE. They've got multiple styles for men and women and plenty of colors to choose from, so order today. Go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio listener square, enter promo code REGULARJOE to get $90 off, or call 1-800-648-3665, 1-800-648-3665, and use promo code REGULARJOE.
I'm Kyle Hughes, and I'm running for Lieutenant Governor, where I will put principle over politics. In March of 2020, our freedom was stolen from us all. As Wisconsinites and Americans, we need to unite over the restoration of freedom. If the elected haven't served us in protecting our liberty for the past 2 years, what makes us think they will in the future? For 2 years, I have traveled Wisconsin, educating and inspiring its residents on the laws. I will continue to do so as your next Lieutenant Governor and give government back to the people.
I'm Kyle Hughes.
Fighting for truth, justice, and the American way. Without the cape, we're the superpowers. Not even a sidekick. Heck, we don't even have fancy gadgets. This is just Joe and his trusty microphone. Made in the USA. This is the Regular Joe Show.
Oh, suck it.
Well, hello and welcome, Joe Gigante, your regular Joe here with this, your VIP backstage soundcheck podcast, exclusive to the wonderful, the awesome, the most splendiferous listeners of all time. That is you, the merry band of regulars. Well, and I mean, you know, the left wing nuts that listen as well. Either way, happy to have you along on this, the Friday edition of the VIP Backstage Soundcheck Podcast, which typically we do the mailbag. We go and we look at stuff in email and on text messages, things we couldn't get to. We are going to do that today, but there's a jobs report. I want to respond to that. We have some sound we couldn't get to in the regular show with all the calls and everything else. So I'm going to cover all of those things today in this very special edition of the supersize version of the VIP Backstage Soundcheck Podcast. Yesterday was what? It was an hour plus, right? They've been getting longer, much to the chagrin of the crew, but the listeners like it, so you all just shut up. No. I love the crew. Let me just say it here on tape. Well, it's digital, but either way, I just want to look, Melinda, Steve, CTI, that's Charlie the intern. And all the wonder, there's a few, you know, we've, I mean, let's just go there. We've got our corporate counsel, Darren. I just get my name right. Darren. And, of course, we've got our chief consultant, Mike, and regular Joe Jr. And, for that matter, my son, Brendan, all work on the show on a daily basis. So all y'all do great. I love all of you. Yes, hand hearts to all. We couldn't do it without you. You're good enough, you're smart enough, and doggone it, I like all of you. I really mean it, but it feels forced. That's why I'm not comfortable with my own feelings. All right, I'm done. So, I'm in that Friday kind of a mood. What can I tell you? So, we were having quite a debate. It really wasn't a debate. Discussion would be the better way to put it. On who would you vote for? And I have got eons of, I mean, just loads of text messages to go through at this point, but I do have some callers that we held over from the show. We're to get to them first. Before we do, though, I happened to peek at one of our social media channels. I don't know why. I don't know why I bother reading what most, but one of the left wing nuts, they're so cowardly. They will not call in. They troll endlessly, telling me how they never listen to the show, but miraculously, they always know the last thing I said when they're commenting on social media. This one, Joseph Patrick, He says, well, the jobs report is out of this world fantastic. So expect a lot of Hunter Biden talk today. We didn't actually talk about Hunter Biden at all. I even had sound about Hunter Biden, but we didn't talk about it. Either way, do they ever get sad about being wrong all the time? Here's what he's talking about from the AP. U.S. employers added 528,000 jobs. Unemployment falls to 3.5%. Yay! Oh, it's the greatest. It's so wonderful. Joe Biden he's Jesus Christ reincarnated. He's the best jobs man. It's awesome. All right, so let's do it again, shall we? First of all, wait for what they revise the numbers to actually be. That's the first rule of any of these reports, particularly under a Democrat administration. It's what they always do. They've been doing it for years. So there's number one. But then there's this from Charles Payne. I love Charles Payne, by the way. He is extremely sharp and just doesn't even care. He just constantly swings through the outfield. So here's a couple things. On the household survey that goes to this jobs report, there is actually a loss of 71,000 full-time jobs. No, all these new jobs, you're a liar face. Well, that's because there is 384,000 new part-time jobs. And they added the number of 92,000 people working multiple jobs. As a matter of fact, the participation rate in the workforce actually went down. So tell me when that happens, pray tell, how can the numbers be so good? Well, yes, if you eliminate everyone that's unemployed as not looking for work, guess what? Everyone's employed all of a sudden. It's amazing. It's mind-blowing that people, well, what am I expecting from left-wing nuts? Of course, they don't read, they don't reason. So, yeah, actually, we added 528,000 jobs, but somehow we have 136,000 fewer jobs than we did in May. How does that work as a great jobs report? You tell me, Joseph Patrick, please reason through it for me, my friend. I didn't look at the actual numbers because the people in the mainstream media told me it was good news, and I had it like porridge. It's the best thing ever because Joe Biden's wonderful. And who's that old man laying on the ground next to the bike? Oh, that's Joe. Yeah, never mind. He's still wonderful. I mean, look, if you want a guy that can not once, twice, but three times a lady fall up the stairs, I mean, then you have some real potential in Joe Biden. But there, so your jobs report. Yep, steaming pile of crap, like it usually is, but we'll pretend, because why go with the facts when make-believe is so much more fun? There you are. That was he wanted the jobs report answer. There you go. Oh, and by the way, Hunter Biden's unemployed. There, bam. Put him in there for him as well. Look, they asked. Now, speaking of people that are unemployed but just don't know it, I turn to the great state of Georgia for the imaginary governor of Georgia. You know who the imaginary governor is, right? Stacey Abrams. I mean, to hear her talk, and for that matter, hear many in the mainstream media talk, she is the governor de facto. So she was talking to Yahoo News about the bad Dobbs decision. It's so dangerous. People can't have abortions anymore. I don't know what to do. Well, they asked her about it. They said, well, look, people are struggling, Stacey Abrams. By the way, Stacey Abrams, when she's not busy being the imaginary governor of Georgia, you may know that she writes steamy sex novels. I don't know what do they call them? The romance novels, but they're basically sex novels, which, again, I put her up there with Joy Behar. No, just no, no, please no, God no. Anyway, and when she's not busy writing steamy sex novels and traveling the state of Georgia as its imaginary governor, she has insight on what it is to be a very devout Christian who supports the murder of unborn children. So here we go with her answering the question to Yahoo News. Well, tell us, imaginary governor sex novel author, how do you talk to Christians that say it's dangerous to be Christian and pro-abortion? How do we make them both work? Now, what I'm about to tell you, there's a line out of one of the Star Wars movies, the sequels, I think it's The Last Jedi, which is a horrible movie, but there's this funny line where Luke Skywalker says, everything you just said was wrong, or some I don't remember the exact quote. That would apply right now with Stacey Abrams. Cut number 19.
Abortion is a medical decision. It is medical care. It is what helps a woman who's had a miscarriage actually navigate that space. That's technically a spontaneous abortion. It is what happens in an ectopic pregnancy.
Oh,
but it is also
so
a decision that women make because they are not ready to be mothers. It is a medical decision. And while your faith tradition may tell you that you personally do not want to make that choice, it is not my right as a Christian to impose that value system on someone else, because the value that should overhang everything is the right to make our own decisions, the free will that the God I believe in gave us. And my responsibility as a legislator is to make certain that we allow doctors and nurses and medical professionals to make medical decisions and that politicians stay out of it.
Okay, so as I said, I looked it up. The actual quote from Luke Skywalker is, amazing. Every word of what you just said was wrong. And that applies. First of all, she's not a legislator. As a legislator, my job is, you're unemployed. You are not, you're nothing. You write crappy, second-rate sex novels. I mean, you were in the House at one time, the state House, and you ran for, and you lost. And by the way, governors aren't legislators. See, they're governors. They're executives. They don't actually, why am I even trying? But now let's go to what she said about abortion. Well, those are actually spontaneous abortions. A miscarriage is a spontaneous abortion. That's the medical term. When you go in and you cut the baby apart and suck it out, that's not spontaneous. I mean, unless it's a whim. Hey, you know what'd be fun? Let's go down to Planned Parenthood and butcher a baby. Maybe is that what you mean by spontaneous abortion? Is that in any of those sex novels that you write? Oh, this makes my skin crawl every time I use Stacey Abrams in. Anyway, you want to know how you could get abstinence training? Have Stacey Abrams do sex training. Have her give sex education. Her and Joy Behar, the birth rate will drop precipitously. I promise you. Anyway, so. Yes, when the woman's body cannot handle the pregnancy or the child dies in the womb for whatever reason, that is a spontaneous abortion. And no, it's not always that the woman can't, but there's different reasons why that happens, medically speaking. Sometimes we don't know. That is a spontaneous abortion. By the way, when that occurs and the baby is dead, if they have to perform a DNC to remove the child, that is not murdering a baby. The baby is already dead. A procured abortion takes the life of the innocent, unborn, living child. That's what these laws govern. It does nothing, does not preclude a woman in any way, shape, or form from having a DNC if she has, in fact, had a miscarriage. Ectopic pregnancies, I've talked about it ad nauseum. Nothing that happens when a woman has an ectopic pregnancy is in any way, shape, or form related to abortion. None of the procedures, none of the surgeries, none of the treatments, period, full stop, end of story. Stacey Abrams is a moron. But she wasn't done being stupid. The follow-up question about, well, what would you be okay with any restrictions? Her answer's actually no, but Kamala Harris would be proud of the word salad. Cut 20.
What I've said is that we understand that this is a medical decision, and so arbitrary political parameters make no sense. But it should always be that abortion care is available until a fetus is viable, unless that viability threatens the life of the mother.
Of course, that isn't arbitrary. There's no such thing as a child's life threatening the mother. That's non-existent. They're making it up. But again, she got everything else wrong, so why would we expect that to be right either? So there you go, 0-2. We tried to talk about the imaginary governor of Georgia, making no sense, and the left-wing nuts celebrating a bad jobs report. Stupid. What is it that Forrest Gump said? Stupid is as stupid does. All right, let's get back to the phones as we have people patiently waiting. Let's go to line one, Patriot Mike. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Thank you for having me, Joe. I'm doing all right. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing fantastic. Now, appreciate you waiting as we had to get reset to do the podcast here. You wanted to weigh in on our discussion about who you're voting for in the governor's race in the state of Wisconsin. Who's topping your list?
Most definitely. I'm sorry, but I have to say, hands down, ultimately, is going to be Rantham. After watching that debate, we've seen Rebecca and we've seen Michaels both say that the decertification of 2020 isn't important. Well, that's very important if we can't have fair elections, which if we look over to Racine County right now, there's patriots out there recording a mobile voting truck, which they're already in action ahead of everything. Rebecca, there's a clipping with her. She was being asked from a local news journalist, did Joe Biden win the 2020 election in Wisconsin fair and square? And she said, yes.
Yeah,
Tim Michaels.
Yep. Go ahead.
Oops, sorry about that.
No, go ahead. I didn't mean to jump on you. Go ahead.
His company is tied with government contracting, and whenever you're doing business with the government, that just spells establishment to me. And it's important for all of America to start realizing we have rhinos and we have patriots. They're no different than the Democrats. You know, a lot of people want to fall back and say, oh, it's the Democrats that's screwing up our country. Well, we have rhinos that are working right with them, but they camouflage and they blend in. A patriot stands for God, country, freedom, and liberty. And that's who I stand by. And Timothy Rantham is the only one that is bringing the awareness of the election fraud, and he's been fighting from day one. So he's my choice, hands down.
Well, you know what? I like the way you're talking. I like the way you think about this. And I got to tell you, when it comes to the rhino thing, this is an important point that you're making. And I've said something similar, not quite the same words, that I'd love to see people answer, particularly those in the establishment, which is this: if you have an establishment Republican and or rhino, which, you know, whatever you want to call them, I mean, they think it's kind of synonymous at this point, but if they're just a Republican in name only, what do we really gain? Because when push comes to shove, they're not with us, right? Murkowski, for instance, Senator Murkowski, rhino. Susan Collins, rhino. What do they do to further the conservative Republican agenda? The answer is nothing. So just to say the numbers, right? Just be like, oh, I got 60 people, but you really don't. You have, you know, normally you have like what, 35. If you have 60 people in the Senate, you've got 35 that really are with you, and then you've got, you know, 25 that you're constantly trying to wrangle. And that, or 15, no, 15, oh, yeah, 25 for somebody to write. Yeah, sorry, I was trying to do the math on the fly. But either way, what does that gain? And I think and when it comes to Michaels, and I've said this repeatedly, he is not ready for prime time. Now, I do make one differentiation, and I get in trouble for this. I actually would not describe Rebecca Clayfish as a rhino. I don't think that's the proper term for what we've seen with her, because having worked with her and known her back in 2010 when she ran for lieutenant governor and following her all these years, I think she has some, not all, but some very strong conservative tendencies. I think she has unfortunately listened to very bad advice, made some very poorly chosen statements, all of which I've publicly chided her on. So it's not like, you know, I've let any of it slide. But I don't know. I'm not convinced that she's truly a rhino. I think that's more of a situation of someone that's kind of lost their way and has lost contact with the base that they were once connected to. And there's a difference. I mean, there's different shades of colors, right? There's a difference. But I think with Michaels, I think at best, I think a rhino would be the best thing you could call him. I think he's just the status quo. And if he were to prevail, I don't think he can beat Evers. And even if he beats Evers, I don't see that we're going to have any dramatic departure from how Evers has been running things. I don't see it. And I'm sad, because I'd like to see, President Trump's endorsement go to somebody far more worthy of it. And I think that in that case, Trump made the decision, but I know who some of the people are that were advising Trump And I think that they have misled him on purpose. And I just hope that he figures that out and is able to correct that. So, Patriot Mike, I appreciate you holding. I appreciate the call very much. Have a great weekend and great words of wisdom. I'm going to go to, what do you got, line two. Let's go to Nikki. Nikki's in Lake Mills. Good morning, Nikki. How are you today?
Hi. Good morning. I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. So it says you two want to weigh in here on the governor's race. So tell me, hit me with it now. Who is your top choice for governor in the state of Wisconsin?
Well, thank you for hosting this question. I appreciate it.
My pleasure.
I am, for the first time, actually very excited about who I am supporting for governor. In years past, I've been like voting out of maybe fear or apprehension of what would happen if I didn't vote for somebody. But this year, I am so excited to support someone, and that's Tim Ranthan. There's so many good reasons I have to back him and to support him, so that's so exciting.
Well, that's I first of all, your excitement's kind of palpable. Like you're getting me excited. I'm like, yes, yeah, all right. I love that it comes through in the voice. So now, what is it that puts you in that disposition? Is it a particular issue, something you saw him say, you know, like a moment in one of the debates, something like that, or you know, what kind of got you on the, you know, full steam ahead on the Ranthan train?
Yeah, well, he's been hard for the fighting for the right things for the last 2 years when so many people who are currently running for offices were completely silent. There's even someone, I've had conversations with every single candidate. It's what I like to do. I like to have personal conversations. I want to not rely on somebody else's word. I want to talk to them myself. And
which I love.
Tim Ranthan is the one person who has not actually lied to me about something or misled me in any way. So that is very exciting.
Well, sure. And I got to tell you something, Nikki. What you just said is like music. It's better than any Elvis song to my ears, which is that you took the time to go out to meet these people, to engage them directly, because, you know, that is, to me, that's the template of what needs to be done. That is how our republic is supposed to work, and I really appreciate that, because unfortunately, it is not done as much as I think needs to be, even if you can't do the one-on-one, which it sounds like is what you did, to at least get into the same room with them, watch them, because I always tell people, it's not just what they say, you have to watch how they respond. Look at their facial responses. I know there's my wife and I always joke, she's always like, oh, you know, like when the kids ask a question that she's not expecting or not ready to answer, and she'll be like, ah, oh, my face always gives it away. You know, I try to come up with the words, but they can see it. You know, but it's just different people, right? They, you know, some people have poker faces, but everybody has a tell. Even people that have a good poker face, they have tells, their body language. There's so much, you know, again, 80% of all communication is nonverbal. So getting out there, seeing them, being there when they get asked that question, whether it's decertification, was it stolen, Second Amendment, whatever, it doesn't matter. It could be any issue. That to me tells, and I, you know, something that's always been near and dear to my heart is the sanctity of human life. I think it is the foundational building block on which you can figure out how good any political figure is going to do. If they are afraid of it, they don't want to talk about it, they have no, you know, they'll say things like, well, yeah, I mean, I'm pro-life, and they kind of rush through it. Like, they, you know, that will, because, and I learned this actually from Alan Keyes, former ambassador of the United Nations, just a brilliant man that I had the pleasure of working with. When I was first working with him, there was a particular candidate, and I said, but he's really good on a bunch of stuff. And he said, yeah, but look at him on the life issue. And he pointed, and I said, yeah, but, you know, I get it. I mean, I've always been pro-life. And I said, so what? I said, but he's right in all these other things. He said, yes. He said, but if he will betray the most vulnerable among us,
right,
he said, then he'll betray you at some point on anything. And sure enough, that very candidate got elected and no sooner got in there and started jettisoning all the fiscal policy, all the other good things that were supposed to be the excuse for voting for him. He ran away from him as soon as he got what he wanted, which was the power. And that's why I've learned that lesson the hard way, and I've carried it with me for the rest of my career, that if you couldn't trust them with your baby, you can't trust them with anything. So anyway, and that's why I think you've got to get out there. You've got to see how they react to the questions, because anyone can come up with a stump speech, but when they get asked that question on the spot, that's when you find out who they are. So I think it's just awesome that you did it. You've got me excited. Now, by any chance, are you going down to see Trump at his rally today or not?
I can't commit to that. I have some family obligations first. I'm going to hope to. However, one thing I wanted to say, too, though, is that when you're saying look at them when you ask them questions, watch their body language, you're so right. But also, what have they done when nobody was looking? When yes. nobody would stand behind them, would they still stand for what's right? Even when they're the only ones standing for the right thing, would they still have the spine, with the courage to stand up for what's right? That is what true leadership is. And we're looking at all across the board for the different races. There are people who have run or are currently serving and did not stand up in the last few years. And that's been the true test of leadership in the face of tyranny, that hopefully Wisconsin does not fall back to complacency, go back to sleep again. Hopefully we can keep our eyes wide awake and choose something better and different instead of just going back to what we've been doing for decades.
Nikki, that is, again, phenomenal point. You're right on, perfectly nailed that. And it's actually, by the way, part of how when I made my decision to endorse Kyle Hughes for lieutenant governor, that was a big piece of it, was the fact that he's been out there working hard, doing all these things when nobody else was and when no one else was looking, and you know, not for fanfare, but because it was the right thing to do and has continued to do it. And you know, to paraphrase the Eagles song, he wasn't a Johnny Come Lately, the new kid in town. So, I mean, you know, he stood up, he did the right thing when nobody was paying, or very few were paying attention. So, Nikki, great call. I appreciate it. Enjoy, by the way. Hopefully the family obligation's a fun one on this Friday. And if you make it down to the rally, if you look for where the Right Side Broadcasting Network will be doing their live cut-ins, that's where my crew and I will be. So come by and say hello if you make it down there.
Perfect. Sounds good. I look forward to meeting you in person. I'd like to say you did a great job on your lieutenant governor debate that you hosted.
Oh,
I really appreciated
you.
The way you handled the questions and your follow-up questions.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that very much, Nikki. Have a great weekend. And thank you for being part of the Merry Band of Regulars. I, too, look forward to meeting you in person at some point. So, all right. I believe that's all the calls we have. I'm sure if we had told people, they'd still be calling. But I love being able to bring it into the podcast as well. It's really, I mean, at some levels, it's becoming that fourth hour. But anyway, we have the mailbag to get to now, where we've had, I mean, we had quite a few emails and text messages just coming in from today, much less. We usually do a week's worth, but right now, look, never let it be said that I am not willing to acknowledge our left wing nuts. I am. I have one in particular that, well, I think he's not taking his meds. I mean, I have to be honest. And I try to be kind on email, but he has this fancy concept. He's talking about living in. He wants us to. He said he will only call in if we bring in a third-party moderator to ask the questions. And I said, do you understand how talk radio works? I said, you won't give me time to talk. I said, are you kidding me? I've given left-wing nuts up to a full segment to hang themselves with their own words. I'll let you talk. Now, I'm not going to let you monologue. I'm not going to let you ask the questions. I mean, anyway. But he weighed in on the Elvis question, among other things, and he seemed a little bit hurt, as the young crew would say, butthurt, that I didn't give his song. So I'm saying it now that it's That's All Right, Mama. That was his, or is his, favorite Elvis song. There, I'm patting you virtually on your head. You did a good job. Keep up the good work. What was that?
Good boy.
Good boy. Yes, good boy. Good boy. You're doing just fine. Maybe a little scratch behind the ears. I don't sniff hair. You got to go to Joe Biden for that. Anyway, so there, I've acknowledged you. You have been self-actualized. Where's Stuart Smiley when we need him? That's what's missing. All right. To the email from Vicky. I love that she always signs hers Aloha, because she's originally from Hawaii. So she says, hey, Joe, I can't get through on the phone, so I wanted to email you. My choice for Wisconsin governor is the Ram, Tim Rantham. I love, by the way, that is, they adopted the Ram's head, and then they put Thune, which is awesome, which it's a great way. It's actually brilliant marketing, because you get the Ram concept, and because most people think it's Ranthum with the N first and the M at the end. It's the other way around. It's Ram, R-A-M-T-H-U-N, Ranthum. Anyway, but did I spell it right? I just want to make sure everyone got that. She said, because I love the movie Blue Hawaii, and I'm from Hawaii, my absolute favorite Elvis song is Can't Help Falling in Love with You. Because he actually has a song, Blue. Anyway, but that is Can't Help Falling in Love with You is one of the, it's in my top, well, it's in my top four because I haven't picked my fifth, but it is in my top five. I think it's one of the greatest love songs of all time. It is, and again, played that a lot when I was DJing weddings. Always, I mean, first of all, slow songs, people that don't even dance will dance during slow songs. And Can't Help Falling in Love with You, that's when you have spillage off of the dance floor onto the surrounding carpet because everybody wants to just great, great love songs. So great, great choice, Vicky. She said, it's such a beautiful song and set in a time in the 1960s when Hawaii was still truly a paradise. Thank you for all you do, Joe. Well, thank you. And aloha to you too, Vicky. Yeah, I know, that's the saddest part. I mean, unfortunately, Hawaii has become it's still beautiful. I mean, it's paradise by sight. But it, as goes politics and policy, it is a left-wing cesspool. So, but that'll change. I know somebody, not going to say who, but I know somebody that it is their, it is part of their long-term plan to be the conservative governor of Hawaii. So we'll see if that happens. All right, Nancy B. writes in saying, I'm voting for Rantham. Didn't like Michaels from the start. Favorite Elvis song, One Pair of Hands. You know what's amazing? Like Hound Dog and I think Jailhouse Rock each got a couple. Some people said they went between the two that I presented, they went with, which we haven't done for the, we should do for the podcast, just for the sake of it. For those that are only tuning into the podcast, one of my questions of the day was, what is your favorite Elvis song between, well, I gave two, but then I allowed other, because my eldest son, Regular Joe Jr., recently caught the Elvis biopic, whatever. The movie about Elvis. That's what it is. And he really has gotten into the music. And his favorite is If I Can Dream It, which here's a cut from a sample of that right here. So that's my son's favorite. It's a great song, by the way. I'm not saying it's not a great song. Great tune. Mine, on the other hand, and by the way, nobody agreed yet with me on this, is which I think is just a great, it's one of those songs that, frankly, I think Elvis sings the hell out of it. Just he just puts a full vocal in the backgrounds and the crescendos, The Wonder of You.
You give me love and consolation. You give me hope to carry on.
That is my all-time favorite, and it's hard to pick an all-time favorite, but I would put that at the top of my list for Elvis. So I asked everybody which one of us is right. Is it If I Can Dream of It, The Wonder of You, or Other? Now, what's been interesting about this is other than we had like two, maybe three or four that said Hound Dog, I think like two that said Jailhouse Rock, maybe a few more. And then we just got oodles and oodles of emails and texts on this, plus all the calls. But hardly anyone's picking this. Well, I mean, his catalog is huge. And there's some even, I mean, as many years as I did music radio, there's one or two that have been mentioned that I wasn't even aware of. But for Nancy B., it's One Pair of Hands. Said she was going through a rough time and played this on YouTube almost every day. Gave me the strength that I needed. That, by the way, that's beautiful, and I appreciate you sharing that. One of the amazing things about that, power of music, and I wasn't going to be a part of the topic, but I will just share, since you did, Nancy, that's where my love of the Beach Boys came from. I enjoyed the music. I was 3 years old when my brother Bobby gave me my first Beach Boys album. I still have it, by the way. The actual album, he wrote Joe's, like possessive, but he only wrote J-O-S. So he never, I always teased him, like, you know, it's not how you spell it, but whatever. I still have that album, and now, you know, since then I bought a bunch of others. But when I was three when I got it. I always loved the music. When I was 8 and a half, when my father died very suddenly, very unexpected, and I had a lot of trouble sleeping. And so finally, and I think it was Bobby that suggested it, I had two copies of the Endless Summer album because it was a double album, four sides. And so I would stack it on my turntable at night, put on my headphones because, you don't, you know, I had a bunch of other brothers, didn't want to hear music. And I would listen to the Endless Summer album and I'd fall asleep listening to the album. It was, the music always made me happy. It put me in a better disposition, and I had a lot of trouble sleeping because, frankly, I'm missing my father as a little kid whose dad just died, and I'd been very, very close with my father. So that's where, you know, my love of the music really deepened and grew, not to mention that I always, I suddenly knew all the lyrics because I was falling asleep, you know, programming my brain with it. But I can relate to what you're saying, Nancy, because it really made all the difference. To this day, I still, when I'm in a bad mood or if I'm having a rough time, I'll put on a Beach Boys album and it changes. It picks my mood up. It makes me feel better. And that's why art is so important. Real art, true art, because true art will lift the soul. That's one of the hallmarks of understanding real art. Not when they take a crucifix and put it into a jar of urine. That is not art. It doesn't lift anything up. It destroys. It tears down. Anyway, I could go on about music and the beauty of music, but I appreciate you sharing that nonetheless with us, Nancy. And I don't know that one off. I know the title. I can't recall it, so I'm going to have to go look it up. All right, and we got this from Cindy. She said she is torn between Rebecca Clayfish and Tim Rantham. She wrote in all capitals, "Never, never Michaels. Don't know why Trump had to endorse him." Like I said, I've addressed this. And again, I'm not trying to exonerate. He's a big boy. He doesn't need me to carry his water for him or anything else. But I think the fact is that he was given bad information, and he made the decision. I think we were kind of daydreaming on one of the breaks. Wouldn't it be awesome if tonight at the rally he says, you know, and I endorsed him, Michaels. And then, you know, he starts to do the trot up on the stage. But, you know, let me tell you, upon further thought, I can tell you something. It'll be interesting. We're going to be there. I suspect that Michaels is not going to get, well, let's see how many busloads of people he brings to the event. Let's see how many seats they reserved for Michaels because, yeah, I'm just going to say that, you know, yeah. I would be surprised if there is not a very audible mixed response when Michaels is brought to the stage and or Trump talks about Michaels. I don't think it's going to go like it does at most of these. And that's something to say about Wisconsinites, by the way. They don't want to, you know, the merry band of regulars, conservatives in the state, they think for themselves. By the way, the great Charlie the intern weighing in on music, saying, just sent a notice, there's a reason that Plato wrote that the Silver Souls, the Warriors, had to have musical and poetic education along with their training. It guides the soul. Yes, because if you don't, you have savages. If all you train in is the military arts, well, then you get some bad dudes like Corn Pop. All right, so, good resist. All right, another one of these days, ladies and gentlemen. Pat says, I wish President Trump would withdraw his endorsement today. Oh, my goodness. I hadn't even looked at this. This is the next one in the stack. We just talked about it. By stating it is the people's choice and the citizens of Wisconsin who should pick the best candidate to beat Evers, I will be voting for Tim Rantham in the primary. If we end up with Rebecca, I will vote for her. I believe that if Michaels wins, Evers will be our next governor. I wish I could disagree, but I can't. I mean, that's just, I can't. All right, one of our emails says, hey, they were talking about the biopic on Elvis, telling me the DVD, because I haven't seen it yet. I want to see it in the theater. I think it's still somewhere in the theaters, but they said, look, don't worry, the DVD Blu-ray release date, clearly a fan, September 13th. And they said, I already pre-ordered it on Amazon. So I guess, you know, if nothing else, I've got that. The great Murph, James Murphy, said, both my wife Sue and I are voting for Rantham. Well, there you go. Did we once again get no one for Michaels? There is one on text or email? Text. Oh, can you try to bring it to the top? I'm not trying, just scroll to it on your screen. I can see your screen, so I can read from it. But yeah, I'm not trying to not cover this stuff. I just can't find it. I mean, we cover more than 2/3 of the state of Wisconsin with the show on a daily basis, and we get nothing. I mean, this barely registers as a pulse for Michaels. Rantham obviously crushing it, and there's a moderate amount of support, at least on the email and text lines, for Clayfish. So Barb says, she's weighing in on Governor, definitely and undeniably Tim Rantham, the only one for the people. And again, here's one. I have an email. Voting Tim Michaels. I worked with his company as a supplier salesman and consultant for almost 20 years. You will not find a more honest, hardworking Wisconsin family. They care for their employees, the people working with them in the state of Wisconsin. This from Bill in Sheboygan. Well, look, we have one. We got a second one. Here it is. This one from, oh, that's Rantham. Oh, that's all it says? We literally got a text message. All it says is Michaels. Monkey! I thought there'd be like something there. It just says Michaels. All right, well. All right, so there's two. Bill on email, he gave, which again, Bill, I'm not questioning anything Bill's saying about the company. That may be true. I don't know that it translates to being a good governor, and everything I'm seeing is no, that it wouldn't, because frankly, I don't see that. So anyway, and again, that you can have both, right? You can have this where they're a good company, and remember, that's all of the family together, by the way. It's not just Tim, which again, maybe he could be the nicest fellow. I'm not impugning his personal character. I'm just saying I don't think the guy's ready for prime time to be the governor. I just don't. I don't see it. And again, but we can agree to disagree. And I appreciate, Bill, you being part of the Merry Band of Regulars. Regular Bronson, who was weighing in on Elvis earlier, followed up to say that he thinks the best film impersonator, and you know, it's crazy as I remember this film, so just showing my age now, Kurt Russell, 1979, and this is Elvis. I remember that with a scene from that I remember the most, and there's a link to a YouTube video that I didn't look at yet, and I'll laugh if it's that. If it's that scene, in that movie, I remember he shoots the TV. He gets angry about something, and Elvis pulls out a gun. And, of course, everyone comes running into the room Elvis is in, thinking, oh, the king is dead, or, you know, whatever. They don't know what's going on. And it was later, I don't know if he was Fat Elvis yet, but he was later in life Elvis in the movie when that happens. But yeah, Kurt Russell did a great job. So I would agree with you there. All right, a couple things here, and we're going to wrap up. I mean, again, I could go through so many of this. This person says, neither Clayfish nor Michaels has specified in any detail what they would do. They talked in vague Aristide and generalizations. Wow, look at that. Said what they did in the past, which really is not all that impressive politics-wise. I am a conservative Christian, that's what that is, a conservation. It's a conservative Christian. I think we're going to get a do-nothing governor, whether it's Clayfish or Michaels. A Voss clone in the Republicrats will have blown their chance again to demonstrate their Republicans and not Democrats in Republican clothing. So I tried to be a little more positive than that, but I hear what you're saying. And again, it is my frustration as well. One texter says, please let President Trump know today about Michaels. Trump is against wind energy. Well, you know, I appreciate that you think I have that much influence, but I don't know that I'll be spending any time with the 45th president. I mean, I will be down there side stage for the television side of things, but look, if I meet him, I will do it. I promise you that. Anyone that knows me knows I won't back down giving my honest opinion if I were to meet President Trump today and he were to ask. Thus far, he has not consulted me on this. But hey, I appreciate that. You know that you really think that you think I have that kind of pull. All right, couple of these hound dog Rantham. So that's two questions, one answer. All right, I got it. Al says Rantham, and then regular T says, how come Michaels and Clayfish keep slinging mud at each other, but I've never heard an ad saying anything bad about Rantham, regular T in P-Town. Well, you know, they might say simply because he just doesn't matter because they want to slug it out at each other. But I think the other part of it is, again, if they attacking Rantham is like attacking the family dog or something. And I'm not saying he's dumb, but just why would you attack him? He's all the guy does is try to do good work. So, I mean, because it'll make them look really bad is what it comes down to. John says, my wife and I both voting for Rantham. So there you have it. Again, now there was one. I want to find it here. A couple of these. There's where's the one? I saw you go past it a few minutes ago. They wrote it out on a piece of paper and sent me the picture, which I thought was amusing. They said, look, this is the challenge. Yeah, there you go. They said, you know, summarizing the challenge in the question of do I vote for Rantham or Clayfish? Because I'm worried a vote for Rantham is a de facto vote for Michaels. And they sent me this quote. But what can I do? I am just one person, said 7 billion people. And you know what? I get where they're... I understand. Scroll up just a hair on that one. I want to see Rick sent that one, and he said, this is the problem. That's kind of what I was trying to explain, which is if you have that many people and they all vote their conscience, well, then that'll solve the problem pretty quick. That's all I'm going to tell you. Peg says, the money Tim Michaels has spent on this primary may get him the win, but if anyone really does the research, they'll vote for Tim Rantham. He has my vote. So again, another one. This one saying, I was a firm Kevin Nicholson supporter. Now that he is out of the race, voting for Rantham. And I know they said there was a few Clayfish ones in here, but as I scroll, they're here. I'd say she probably got about a dozen votes altogether. And I will finish with an Elvis answer, just because we did so much of the politics. Glenn writes in, Kentucky Rain, which is a great tune. I didn't even think of that one, is my favorite. Still remember playing my 8-track tape, Blue Hawaii album, in my Candy Apple Fleck Red 68 Ford Torino Sport. That is a great mental picture as I wrap up this VIP backstage sound check segment. And again, by the way, a different song than everyone else. But Kentucky Rain, Burning Love, Suspicious Minds, and In the Ghetto, all kind of the same early 70s, late 60s, early 70s era of Elvis's music. And just, I mean, really, kind of a third act of his music, but fantastic stuff. So, Glenn, thank you for the beautiful mental picture. My brother used to, my brother Bobby, actually, he had one of the old Ford Broncos that had the hard top that came off and had an 8-track player in it. And we used to play, of course, Endless Summer on the 8-track. So as soon as that description comes up, I can see the Gran Torino in my head. So great finish to our VIP backstage soundcheck podcast. Well, I think we've made clear there's a big decision to be made in the state of Wisconsin about Elvis, but also about governor coming up on Tuesday. I hope to see a bunch of you tonight at the rally. I mean, you'll know who I am, so introduce yourself, because I may not recognize you right away, but I do want to meet you. Between now and then, and between now and Monday, remember those three words to guide your path forward. Live life boldly. See you next week, everybody.